Over Nigeria. Your hands and thank Him for watching over us. He has not given us to the will of our enemies. As a people, as a nation, would have been finished long ago if nobody watches over us. Would have been finished long ago. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name, please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Breathe upon your word again today and let no one leave here the same way. In Jesus' precious name. I welcome everyone here this morning, and we're going to be looking very quickly at the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 1, all the way to verse 4. He said, I will stand upon my watch, I set me on my tower. I will watch to see what He will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end he shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. The Lord bless His word. In Jesus' name. Very, very quickly on this month of vision, month of destiny, I speak on the process and price of vision. I have so much to say this morning, but it looks like I will split the message between now and then next Sunday. The process and price of vision. The objective is to understand the process it takes and the price to pay to arrive at the fulfillment of vision. The process it takes and the price to pay to arrive at the fulfillment of vision. Every divinely originated product has a divinely approved process. If it originated divinely as a product, it has a process. It is not enough to have a vision. It is important to know what it takes to move from vision to realization. What it takes. And we are going to look at many of them. What is the process of vision? What is the price of vision? What do I do for my vision not to become a daydream? Number one, receive it of the Lord. Because of the importance of this message, I am going to literally speak the same titles in each service, but the points under them and the scriptures will be different. Receive it of the Lord. We already read Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1 to 4. He said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me. At the end of it, he said, write the vision. What is vision about? Vision is insight into God's purpose for a man's life. Insight into God's purpose for a man's life. That is, what does God want me to do with my life? So this is definition number one. Other definitions will be coming in the next services. Insight into God's purpose for a man's life. Hence, authentic vision that is guaranteed fulfillment must come from the Lord. Whatever it is that must be fulfilled, that is, it is guaranteed fulfillment, must flow from the Lord. In any way it came. Whether it came by revelations or dreams of the night, or came by the understanding of your life's potential, must come from the Lord. So, if I must see vision come to pass, I must receive it of the Lord. Number two, undergird it with the word. Vision must be undergirded with the revelations of the word for it to be guaranteed fulfillment. Why is that so? First, our possessions are determined by our revelations, not just by our vision.
Your possessions are determined by your revelations, not just by your visions. Because the Bible said in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, it said the secret things belong to God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children. Yes. You have the vision of commanding billions that will be used to build churches and send missionaries to the mission field. That vision must be backed with scriptural revelations. Scriptures that give you the guarantee that those billions are possible. Scriptures that show you that what you are expecting can become your manifestation. Scriptures that power your vision. Under guard the vision with the word. Then you can see result. Number three, fertilize and nurture it in prayer. So the vision you must receive of the Lord. Second, you must undergird with the word. Third, you must fertilize and nurture in prayer. Every kingdom product is delivered through the womb of prayer. Every kingdom product is delivered through the womb of prayer. So, people of vision who deliver vision are always people of prayer. If you look at Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6 and in verse 10, the Bible speaks concerning Daniel. When he knew that the decree was signed, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel, a man of vision, was also the man of prayer. What does prayer do to vision? First, prayer secures the help of God in the fulfillment of vision. It secures the help of God in the fulfillment of vision because it is always not by power, it is not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It secures the help of God in the fulfillment of vision. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 16, he said, let us come therefore boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Prayer secures. Father, I'm trusting you to impact my world in this realm. I have seen the vision, I've had the revelation, and I am making demands on your help for this to come to pass. A prayerless vision is a daydream. Whatever it is you want God to do with your life, it must be bettered in prayer. So, we must receive it of the Lord, undergird it with the word, fertilize and nurture it in prayer. That is number three. Number four, be sensitive to divine timing. Sensitivity to divine timing. We just read it now. For the vision is for an appointed time. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 3. The vision is for an appointed time. Every God-ordained vision or purpose is time-sensitive. Is time-sensitive. For the vision is for an appointed time. God may say something today that may be relevant for 15 years to come. And he may say something today that is to take place tomorrow. But we must be sensitive to divine timing. Why? First, God is a God of times and seasons. And the beauty of every purpose is in its marriage to the right timing. God is a God of times and seasons, and the beauty of every purpose is in its marriage to the right timing. When purpose marries time, beauty is born. It's God speaking to someone here. No matter how hard you try, you will never move God to do what is not within his time. I read that to you already. He makes all things. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11. He makes all things beautiful. He has made everything beautiful in his time. If it must be beautiful, it must happen to time. It must be time sensitive. When the time has passed, it cannot be beautiful anymore. It's like a 50-year-old man trying to join soldier. He may even die at the training. I hear what I'm saying here today. The time of that has passed. Normal education is always better than adult education. Easier. It's more stress-free. And so, we must be sensitive to divine timing. There were people God called when they called us. One God called us. And they were doing one delay and drag until some are still waiting till now. Not knowing that the season has passed. That God is already looking for other people. We must be sensitive to divine timing. Number 5, be sensitive to divine strategy. Sensitive to divine strategy. Sensitive to divine strategy. Purpose is not only tied to time. Purpose is connected to procedure. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 6. He said, because to every purpose there is time and judgment. I believe it was the NIV that said to every purpose, or the Living Bible, to say there, to every purpose there is time and proper procedure. That's right. For there is a proper time and procedure for every matter. If God gave a vision, if he showed something, there is a proper time and there is a proper procedure. In John chapter 21 verse 6, after the resurrection, Peter was toiling. And he couldn't catch any fish. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. That is the procedure. That is where you are going to get this catch. On the right side of the ship. There is a proper time. And there is a proper procedure. Proper time and proper procedure. Why is that so? One. Only the right procedure will guarantee the right product. That is a spiritual law. Only the right procedure, even if it's a chemical law, in biochemistry and in chemistry, only the right procedure will guarantee the right product. The way you follow, like we said, determines the place you end. It determines the place you end. The chemicals must be mixed in the right proportion. The timing and the temperature must all be in place for us to get the right result. That's how it is. The right procedure. In church planting, the right procedure. In business, the right kind of business, the right procedure. In church growth, the right procedure. So be sensitive to divine strategy and approach. Number 6. Identify the cost or demands of the vision. Identify the cost or demands of a vision. The vision. In the book of Luke chapter 14 and in verse 28, Luke chapter 14 verse 28, the Bible said, which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counted the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Identify the cost or demands of the vision. Why is that so? First, if you don't know what to do to get at what you want, then you don't really know what you want. Let me say it another way. Part of knowing what you want out of life, part of knowing what you want, is knowing what to do to get there. So you sit, if you don't know what to do to get there, you don't know it yet. You are only wishing it. Part of knowing what you want is knowing what to do. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10 to verse 14. Look at the process of Paul. He said that I may know him. That is his passion and vision. And the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death. That is my vision. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. What is my prize? Not as though I have already attained. I am not even perfect, but I follow after. If I may apprehend that, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This is the cost now. I forget the things that are behind. I am reaching forth to those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What do I want? You put it on paper. What does God want me to do with my life? You put it on paper. What do I need to do to get there? Shakobagadagalagaba. One. Shekokobagarakatakashakata. Two. You just and you just keep on writing. A young man met me some time ago and he said he's trusting, he had a business and he said he's trusting God to reach 100,000 or whatever, in his business career. I said, okay, can you go and take a piece of paper and then write down 20 ways, 1, 2, 3, up to 20. 20 things you can do to achieve what you are doing. Just crack your head, just pray. And he went and took a week or 2 or 3 weeks and returned back and wrote 20. Okay, I can move like this and get this result. I can move like that. Beloved brothers and sisters, until you know what to do to get it, you don't know it yet. Part of knowing what to do, knowing what you want, is knowing what to do. Be sensitive. Identify the cost and the demands. Number 7, be sensitive to divine direction along the way. Divine directions along the way. That is, in the journey of vision, God does not give instructions once and for all. He gives instructions once and again in the journey of vision. He does not give instructions once and for all. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth. God spake, he's speaking, he will speak again. So the word of God proceeds, it proceeds. He doesn't speak once and for all. He speaks once and again. Why is that so? First, God will never give the entire picture and process of a vision at once. Otherwise, it may become too overwhelming for man. He will never give the entire picture and process of a vision at once to man. That is, everything you will become in life and how you are going to become and what you will pass through to becoming. If God tells you at times, you may change your mind. He didn't tell Joseph he was going to pass through the prison. He didn't tell Joseph he was going to be betrayed and lied against by Potiphar's wife. He didn't tell Joseph that it is from the prison that they will call him to the palace. If God had told him, maybe he would have told God, maybe think of something else. Genesis chapter 37, verse 5, 7, 9. So God will never give the complete, overall, total picture at once. That is why man must be connected. He spoke before, and he is speaking again. And moves you from level to level. Somebody say a loud amen. I speak by prophecy to somebody here today. The next instruction you need from God that is to take you to the next level, I declare it's released in the course of this convention. I declare it's released in the course of this season. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen. Number 8, be doggedly committed to paying the price. be doggedly committed to paying the price. Doggedly. Why should you be? 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34 to verse 36. Paul the apostle said, that's what David said unto Saul. Your servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, smote him, delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him and slew him. Your servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. Why is that so? It is what is pursued that can be possessed. Anything that must be possessed must be pursued. What is never pursued is never possessed. And I want you to hear this that I'm about to say in addition. What is never pursued is never possessed. And the strength of pursuit determines the weight of possession. The strength of pursuit determines the weight of possession. There are many people that God called, but not everyone is pursuing their calling as doggedly as someone like God's servant Bishop David Oyedepo is doing. So the weight of possession is different. There are so many people who are in business, but not everyone is. One man exported pepper 13 times, right? 11 times. All the way to the UK from Nigeria. He tried the first time, it failed. He tried the second time, it failed. He tried the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11 times. At the 11th time, bam, something blew. That man today is a comfortable billionaire in Naira. With several business interests across the world. Gentleman Christian, born again, character integrity. What is not pursued is not possessed. And the weight of pursuit, now, the strength of pursuit, determines the weight of possession. It's not that people don't know what they want out of life. It's that they are not dogged enough to follow it up and cause it to happen by force. Am I speaking to somebody here? They are not dogged enough to say, this thing I want and it must happen. They are not brutal enough. They don't have the spirit of a fighter. Am I speaking to somebody here? I prophesy to someone here today. The grace to pursue it. The grace to possess it. The grace to take delivery of what is yours is released upon you right now. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. So shall it be. So shall it be. Look at your neighbor and say, what do you want? Are you pursuing it? It can only be possessed if it is pursued. Number 9. Be hardened against human opinion and opposition. If you want vision to come to pass, you must make up your mind to be hardened. Somebody say hardened. Be hardened against human opinion and opposition. Archbishop Bessie, the host of blessed memory, used to say, you thicken your skin and deafen your ears. If you are going to go anywhere, that is worth it. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 8, you see what they said. And his brethren said to him, shall you in... The man saw a vision. And his brethren said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his word. Why should you be hardened? First, human opinion and opposition will always rise in envy and hatred against divine vision. Human opinion and opposition will always rise in envy and hatred
against divine vision, against divine vision and purpose, and it must be handled.
We saw that already in Genesis 37 verse 8.
If you are not hated, you are not going anywhere.
If you are not hated, you are not seeing anything.
If you are not envied, you need to be pitied.
Am I speaking to somebody here at all? But if God has laid his hands on you, and there is somewhere worthwhile you are going,
you must be hardened.
The reason is, if you mind opposition, you lose your destination. If you mind opposition, you lose your destination. How many athletes will finish their race if somebody insulted them from the field and then they move off the track to go and attend to the person before stepping there?
Listen to me, brothers and sisters. It is not possible to reach anywhere worthwhile if you mind people. I've learned so much from my father, Bishop David Oyedepo. For 2-7 solid years, somebody was attacking him continuously on television. He never answered one day. 7 solid years.
He said they are doing their work and he has to do his work. There are those who are assigned by the devil to distract you. For you, your vision is God. For them, their vision is you.
What is your life assignment? So and so person.
What are you on earth to do? To see how I can distract him.
Did you hear what I'm saying to you?
Somebody said, a man said he's meant to be a pastor in a particular ministry somewhere. He told people, he said, as for him, he's going to hell.
Yeah.
He was attacking another fellow minister. Attacking him. They told the person who was attacking, go and apologize to him. The man went and apologized. He said, get out. Leave him. Apologize for what? I refuse to forgive you or something. When they confronted him later, he said, as for him, he knows he's going to hell. The only thing he's looking for now is how many people to take with him. Yeah, how many people to go with?
You are pursuing God. There are others pursuing you.
So they are doing their ministry. And to engage them is to make them succeed in the assignment. So face God. You see, when Jehoshaphat faced God and the people faced him, God faced them. In the name of Jesus, I announce to somebody, no devil will ever succeed to distract your life, to distract your destiny, to distract your purpose, to distract your future. If you are saying amen, shout it like a believer. Say after me, say in the name of Jesus, I refuse to be distracted. I refuse to be destroyed. Shout the loudest amen.
Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. I'll talk more about this in the subsequent services. Number 9, be hardened against human opinion and opposition. Number 10, maintain faith in the fulfillment. Maintain faith in God for the fulfillment of vision. Maintain faith in God for the fulfillment of vision. Maintain faith in God for the fulfillment of the vision. The just shall live by faith. That was what he told us in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. After speaking about the vision, he says faith is necessary. This is the point. First,
every divine result delivers by the engagement of the force of faith. Every divine agenda, every divine result delivers by the engagement of the force of faith. If you need God in it, you must put faith in it. For without faith, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it is impossible to move God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm going to rush now. Maintain faith. In all that you want to achieve for God and for life, faith. Number 11, refuse to give up. Refuse to give up. He said, even though it tarry, wait for it. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. This is the meaning, the reason why you must refuse to give up. First, you must refuse to give up because visions speak at the end, not at the beginning. Visions speak at the end, not at the beginning. He said, even though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. He said, for the vision is here for an appointment, but at the end it shall speak. That is,
I remember when this church started, there were many, many people who pitied us. This small boy. You see, and in Africa, age 26 is a small boy. In America and Britain, 18, you are an adult. Here is the 26, 27, 28, they are still calling you, even 40, this is a small boy. That is why there is so much underdevelopment, so much backwardness and retrogression.
See a medical doctor. I mean, if the medical doctor was 25 years old, he is matured enough to manage head to toe of a human body, matured enough to operate the person, and you call him a boy. That was what they call this small boy, this small girl. Coming to waste it. They're just pitying us.
Somebody told us one day, when we're in the area, one place there, churches were gathered. You know, they pushed all churches there. One man told me, say, I was passing the other day, I saw you people's cricket generator. Cricket. A cricket generator. Little that was in front of the church. That man was a pastor. Saw you people's cricket generator sounding outside. I said, really? I looked at him. And he laughed one sarcastic laugh. I don't know if that man is in ministry today. No. Am I communicating at all? They look down at you. And at times, if you are not careful, you begin to look down on yourself.
Because people will think that maybe you are just waiting. But
here we are today. And we are still on the journey. And we have not started yet.
You must refuse to give up because initially it may appear as if the things are not working. Even people will make you feel like it's not working the way you think. But visions don't speak at the beginning. They speak at the end. I am here to announce to somebody, whatever God has spoken concerning you is coming to pass. God gave a word to Noah, and that word took 100 years before it came to pass. I don't know the word of God that he has given you or you are holding on to. I prophesy, it shall come to pass. Shout the loudest, amen. Shout the loudest, amen. Shout the loudest, amen. Jump on your feet and shout the loudest, amen.
I give you point number 12 on your feet. Celebrate victories and success along the way. That is, you are not there yet, but you are in motion. You are not there yet, but you are in motion at least. Celebrate victories and success along the way. Psalm 103 verse 105 said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Why should you celebrate victories? One, little victories are the foundation for major victories. They are the foundations for major victories. The meaning of that is this. Until little victories are celebrated, major victories are never precipitated.
You celebrate the little victory to precipitate the major victory. That was what David did. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 36 to 37, he said, "The God who delivered me from the lion and the bear, he will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine." If he has done anything, no matter how little, on the journey of the fulfillment of the of vision, celebrate it. It is the foundation. You are not seeing 100,000 people yet, but you are seeing 100 people. Celebrate it. Everybody who knows me and knows this church, know that the passion with which I'm preaching now has not increased. It is that the passion has been the same from university days. I can preach to two people. One day I preached in one of our locations with about the place is like the size of our toilet here now, where they were using for church. Not up to 100 people. I sweated until the pastor's wife said, "I'm shocked that you are sweating like this." So you can preach to few of us like this with such sweat. So yes, it day body. Why? Those days when people were 5, 7, 30, 20 something, 100, preach with fire, sweated, pull suit. One little ballroom in Sheraton in those days, and there was no difference. You will never know. Why? Because those little victories are the foundation for major victories. It is somebody's day today. And if you are that one, shout the loudest amen. Who is the person that God preached to this morning? Who has something to celebrate in God? Give him the clap. Give him the shout. Give him the leap of joy. A clap, a shout, and a leap of joy. Lift up your two hands everywhere you are and worship him and honor him and adore him and magnify him. Father, we worship you. Father, we honor you. Father, we adore you. Father, we glorify you. Father, we worship you. Thank him, 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 thank him. What is the process? What is the prize? What is the process? What is the prize? Receive it of the Lord. Receive the vision of the Lord. Undergird the vision with the word. Fertilize and nurture it in prayer. Be sensitive to divine timing. Be sensitive to divine strategy. Identify the cost of the vision. Be sensitive to divine directions. Be doggedly committed to paying the price. Be hardened against human opinion and opposition. Maintain faith in God for the fulfillment of the vision. Refuse to give up. Celebrate victory and success. Somebody give the Lord the praise. Oluwa etobi, etobi yo, etobi. 3 minutes, are you ready for that celebration? If you didn't dance in the main praise session, dance now. If you believe something good has happened before and something good is about to happen to you, celebrate like never before.
Oluwa,
Oluwa, wa 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 wa.
Oluwa, etobi, etobi yo, etobi. Oluwa, etobi,
Oluwa,
etobi, etobi yo, etobi. Kose ni tale fi, le fi.
Let us rejoice and be glad, giving the glory to God for the marriage of the Lamb has come and the price has paid.
Everybody, let us rejoice and be glad, giving the glory to God. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride. Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah
for the Lord our God, the Almighty.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah
for the Lord
our
God, the Almighty.
Everybody sing hallelujah, hallelujah for the Lord our
God, the Almighty.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Everything's gonna be alright. Everything is already alright.
Everything
is already alright.
Nothing to thank God for. We will thank God for answer to prayers for our nation. One of our instrumentalists here said, if I had told him to follow us to Taraba State, he would say, excuse me, sir, I'll come later. You are going to the northeast headquarter of terrorism in Nigeria. You are going there. When we arrived in the town, we were seeing the way vehicles were parking by the roadside when we were coming. So we asked the driver, said, what's happening? He said, it's because of the insecurity. He said, when they see vehicles coming like this, they just park aside to the road. They don't know who is coming. He said, because of the insecurity. What? And the story we heard when we met their leadership in the state was not helping matters in the night. Oh, it was a terrible, you said the last one, the soldiers were overpowered with higher gun power, firepower. What? I'm a stranger here. And you are telling me this story here. And I felt that they were telling us the story because they are believing you came on the behalf of God. Give us answer. We need solution. And then on the crusade ground, fire was poured on the ground on Friday night. Judgment against terrorists. Judgment against killers. Judgment that let them kill themselves. Let them waste themselves. That happened as we stepped in the northeast on Friday, and by the next week, before it was 7 days, and then while we were in the middle of the service of Wednesday, making declarations on Wednesday, at the same time, they were clashing. At the same time, the same time, the same time. 6 o'clock, between 6 and 7 in the evening, while we were here, while declarations was going on, they were clashing with each other. Wasting themselves until the waster was wasted. And I want to announce to you people, by what I see, we are just at the beginning. The nation is in a season where Jehovah wants to show who owns the land. I'll share that briefly remain standing. In Isaiah chapter 42 and in verse 13, all the way to verse 16, he said, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry here. He shall roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. Look at what he said. I have for a long time holding my peace. I have been still. I refrain myself. But now I will cry like a traveling woman. And I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. I will make the rivers islands and I will dry up the pools. I will bring the blind by the way that they knew not. I will lead them in the path that they have not known. I will make the darkness in Nigeria become light before them, and the crooked things shall be straight. These things will I do unto them, unto this nation, and not forget them. In Isaiah chapter 34, verse 5 to 8 now. The reason why these things are said and declared is because God only confirms what his servants declare. Look at what he said in Isaiah 34 and in verse 5 to 8. He said, for my sword shall be battered in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edom and upon the people of my coast to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness and with the blood of the lambs, and goats with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Edomir. And the unicorns shall come down with them, and the bullocks and the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of reward, recompense. Why? For the controversy of Zion. For the way Zion has been molested and manhandled. For the way the people of God had been looked upon and their God had been taken for granted. For the way there has been contradiction. Where is their God? He said, it is my day of vengeance and recompenses for the sake of the controversy of Zion. He said, I will pass through Egypt tonight. In Exodus chapter 12 and in verse 4. 12. I will pass through the land of Egypt tonight. I will pass through the land of Nigeria this day. I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods and the blood-sucking altars, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. We are in the days where those who make people weep, it is their turn to weep. Those who claim to own this land shall be disappointed. The tears shall flow for those who made others to cry. We are in the days where righteousness shall rise and wickedness shall sink. Not just among terrorists or kidnappers or headsmen, so called, but among everyone, high and low, who has a hand in the wickedness that is going on in the land. The suppliers of their arms, all of them shall fall in judgment. Those who make laws and decrees and ordinances, sympathizers and sponsors, all of them shall crash by the sword. People in authority and every realm they are. Some will be dealt with by the sword. Some Jehovah will touch them himself. He will touch them like Pharaoh. Touch them like Herod. He will touch them with the plague and with affliction. So let's just watch and see. Just watch and see. The first ones were declared. It's happening like fire. Just watch and see. Vagabonds making the land uninhabitable for people, selling human beings and asking for money, and there is a government in place, and it's happening restlessly, endlessly. Those days are over. Every day for the thief, one day for the owner. The owner of the land and the owner of his people is stepping into war. All right,
we are going to be hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And fear shall grip the land, and the high and the mighty shall be shocked, that the idols they trusted in, the weapons they trusted in, will never stop them. The people, the clashes of those people has not ended. It's only beginning. They will help to finish each other. They will face themselves and finish each other. By the time they are through with one another, you will be looking for terrorists, you can't find them. That is scripture. The Amalekites stood up against the Ammonites. And the Ammonites stood up against the Edomites. All of them gathered together to finish Judah. But they faced each other. The Bible says each one helped. Somebody say help. To finish the other. Each one helped. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants, they said, everyone, somebody say help. Everyone helped. What a good assistance. You want to die? I assist you. You know, they are suicide bombers. They have sworn to die. So you are planning to die? Let me assist you. They shall help and they shall assist each other to be wasted. Lift your hands and your voice in appreciation of God. Just appreciate God in tongues. Appreciate the God we serve in tongues. In Jesus' precious name. You are in need of surrender to Jesus. Pick your Bibles and pick your bags. Quickly step forward here and let me pray for you. Take your seat. You are not saved. You are not saved. If you are not saved, your life is not saved. You will pardon me with a little time because of one or two announcements for the convention, but I'll be through shortly. Pick up your Bibles and your bags. Quickly come and get born again. Come and give your life to Jesus. Come and make your ways right with Jesus. I give you the count of 7. 1.
To Jesus, 2.
Quickly rush forward.
To him I freely give.
You have an addiction that must be broken. Also come forward and let it be broken. 3. 4.
His praise is there.
Place your right hand on your chest. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus? You know that Jesus is not happy with your life, the way you have lived, and you want to rededicate? You can also rush forward quickly and let us pray for you. Place your right hand on your chest and say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of help. Come into my life today and make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you today. I ask that the hold of sin be broken off your life. Grace to serve the Lord is released on you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The Lord bless you. Hold on 1 minute.